you can build an impressive short-term rental business from the ground up with a little help from John and Jeanette. These successful Airbnb and Vrbo hosts have experienced and documented the blood, sweat, and tears it can take to really stand out from the pack.
Welcome to Stand Out.
Hey, everybody, it's John.
I'm Jeanette.
And welcome to Stand Out Hosting. So today we're going to talk about how to write a winning property listing for your Vrbo or Airbnb property. And as you recall, last episode, we talked a lot about should you use Vrbo or Airbnb, what's right for you? And the punchline on that one was we recommend using both platforms, assuming that your listing is for the full property and not just for a room. We suggest you use both of them. We've already posted a podcast on photography and how important that is as well. And, you know, we talked about that being the number one most important thing in your listing is your photography. But I would hazard a guess to say that really your second most important thing for your potential guest to see when searching for a vacation rental is your description and your title of your listing. But here's the kicker. Images, at least at this point, are not searchable by the platforms or by Google. So that means your listing, your headline, your descriptions, and things like that, in a sense, from a search engine standpoint, they are the most important thing you'll do. So we're going to spend some time on that today and really focus mostly on the descriptions and the titles themselves. So it's really important that your listing stand out. And that's the title of our podcast, but it's important here as well that your listing stand out and that it accurately portrays your property. And Jeanette's going to talk more about that in a minute. We're going to discuss everything today from writing that attention-grabbing headline to really how to highlight those features of your property and your description, the words you use. We'll talk about some words that are a little bit dangerous in the real estate community, and we'll kind of do a little dive on those as well. And generally, we'll be talking about why it's so important for a good listing, good title, good amenities, good photography. We kind of hit on that already, all with the goal of somebody clicking the book now button on your page.
Okay, let's start with the basics. When creating a property listing, it's important to provide super accurate and detailed information about your property. So this would include your relative location, number of bedrooms and bathrooms, room and bed details. Is it a queen bed, a king bed? Be specific. Also, talk about your kitchen and any other important details that you think your guests should know before they book. And this is kind of the part of the podcast where things can get more fun because we've talked about all the different elements. We've talked about photography and furniture and all the little details. And now here's your chance to really express what makes your property so special. So at the end of the day, your listing and all the photos that'll accompany it are the primary salesperson to help potential guests determine if your property meets their needs and expectations, or should they move on to somebody else's property?
Yeah, so let's just stop there for a minute and just think about every time we've rented an Airbnb or Vrbo property. I mean, it comes down to, I hate to oversimplify this, but it comes down to the pretty pictures and the compelling description and title. I mean, at the end of the day, what else is there? Every house has four walls and a fireplace and a bathroom and all that stuff. The way to stand out is your pictures and these things that we're going to talk about today, right? So let's start this whole thing with what they on Vrbo and Airbnb affectionately call their title or their headline. So let's start your listing with an attention-grabbing headline. So the headline is the first thing that your potential guests are going to see. So it needs to be catchy, not corny, but attention grabbing, like just really stand out that somebody says, wow, that's interesting what this description has to say. You can use descriptive words that accurately represent your property and highlight its unique features. For example, if your property has a beautiful ocean view, you could use a headline like Stunning Ocean View Retreat in the Heart of Wrightsville Beach. So just those nine words or whatever that is, I know where it is. I know what makes it special is its view. Not only is it special view, it's a stunning view. Okay, I'm going to click on it, look at the pictures, read the description. Now, before we get rolling, there are some common terms that we've done some research on that you will want to be careful using because, frankly, in the real estate world, they have a very different meaning. So let's start with one you've all seen, quaint, and some people might say cozy or something like that, right? And at first, quaint or cozy really kind of feels like this roaring fire. You're reading your favorite book. Maybe you're cooking a fancy dinner with some herbs from your own secret little garden in the back. But in reality, quaint, cozy, and charming usually means small, tiny, and cramped. So here's another one, open plan or open concept. You can't turn on HGTV and go 10 minutes without hearing that. But even though at first you think of an open space, meaning this large area where I can see, you know, all the way through my home and from one end to the other, just remember also that your small studio apartment that you were renting in college was also open concept, with the bed, bedroom, kitchen, living room, and all of that within 30 feet of each other in every direction. So open concept does not necessarily mean large.
Right. So I guess what we're saying is be specific. For example, when you say something like within walking distance, I mean, anybody can walk anywhere, right? So it would be better to map the actual distance, maybe in blocks or in miles to, like, say, local restaurants or grocery stores. You be specific so they understand what you're talking about. Another one, we've seen close to transportation. Well, does this mean you're right next to a cute little bus stop in a cute little neighborhood, or are you right next to the train station? So again, be specific. Another one we've seen, unique decor. That can be scary, because what does that mean, unique decor? Does it mean it's really cool, or does it mean it's really noisy, distracting, disturbing, or just plain ugly? So, you know, hopefully your pictures will tell the story there. One other one I could mention, breathtaking view. It's a nice descriptor, but it would be better to be more specific, because breathtaking, what does that mean? Does it mean an expansive, unobstructed view of the ocean? Or are you talking about a peekaboo view of a sailboat mast in the marina? Do you have a 360-degree view of the mountains? Or can you spot Mount Rainier out the top of the bathroom window if you stood on the toilet and looked outside?
Wow, nice Mount Rainier reference. I love it. So a couple more, loads of privacy. We've seen, you know, very private. Well, just remember, one of the reasons people are renting your place is they want to not be so private. They want to be near things. They want to be around things. The phrase loads of privacy or lots of privacy can also mean you have to travel a really long way before you see another human or a grocery store or whatever. So unless your niche of your property is this sort of getaway off the grid, be careful with the overplaying your privacy element there. Here's one most of us know, up and coming neighborhood. We see it on real estate listings and we see it on Vrbo and Airbnb listings. You know, this could mean the street just got a new Starbucks and the locals farmers market is starting to, you know, be out every Saturday morning out in front of your residence. But it also could mean you're not feeling real safe at night walking around as you head back from the grocery store or back from the concert you're there to see. So, you know, at what stage of the up and coming is your property can mean a lot of things to different people. So again, be careful about those terms.
So here are four things to consider when writing your title. Number one, highlight your unique amenities or location. So think about which amenities make your property especially desirable or unique. For example, a hot tub, a pool, or balcony. These are all great amenities to feature. Unless, you know, all the other properties in your area have those things, then you need to think of something that is unique to your property. To get ideas, take a look at your competition. Look at the listings in your area and see if there are amenities that you have that others don't. These are amenities that you can feature that will make you stand out, which is what we're trying to help you do. What features am I talking about? How about a hot tub, a pool, balcony, large square footage, free parking, bikes included, access to a gym? What kind of views do you have? How close are you to the airport? How close are you to major attractions? Steps away from the beach, that always gets my attention. Remember, you're trying to stand out, so make sure your guests know why they should book your place instead of your competition.
Yeah, that's great. And remember, all of this we're talking about right now is just the title itself. Airbnb and Vrbo, both of them have a limit of about 50 characters. One tip we'll give you for number two here is to use all 50 or pretty close to it. Airbnb actually favors longer titles in their search. And so, you know, don't be so cute and concise with your title that you're missing out on the search functions in your platform and, of course, on Google and things like that. Also, make sure to look at your listing on your mobile device, not just your desktop, to make sure they're showing correctly or they're not wrapping weird. You can imagine some sentences, if they wrap funny, might end at an odd point in the listing title or description. Just make sure that looks good on all the devices. And then avoid all caps. You know, all caps has this sort of tendency to look screamy. It looks super desperate. It's just not something that is going to do you any favors. I think if there's something really unique about your property you want to pull out and one word is in all caps, we'd probably forgive you for that. But all caps in your title throughout and a bunch of exclamation points, just too much.
Next, avoid generic and redundant descriptors. So remember, your goal is to stand out among all the hundreds of listings. There's hundreds that you're competing with. To write a catchy Airbnb title, we recommend that you don't use overly generic adjectives. And here's what I'm talking about. For example, beautiful, nice, comfortable, etc. These are pretty generic and not very descriptive. Instead, consider using words that describe the style of your place. For example, luxury, modern, rustic, chic, retro. Another word that's kind of generic is the word convenient. Can't just say convenient. Why is it convenient? You might say it's 2 blocks from downtown or 5 minutes from the airport or whatever specific reason you believe your property is convenient. Be specific. Make sure they understand why. Another word that's used a lot but is a little too generic for our taste is spacious. Instead of saying spacious, like, what does that really mean in quantifiable terms? You might want to consider including the square footage of your place or include mention of, say, it's 2 stories or it has a loft or some other kind of feature that illustrates its size. Renovated, that's another word that is used, and that's a little dangerous. Who cares? They haven't stayed there before, so if they hear renovated, it kind of has this under new management feel to it, maybe, and it could also infer safety issues or, you know, is the wiring done right? Was there mold? Was there a fire?
I mean, that last one really got my attention because I see that a lot. I never even thought of it that way, but it's definitely to the point. No one cares that it's been renovated except the person renovating it. The people coming want a new, beautiful, clean space, and the fact that it used to be really crappy does nothing for them. Nothing. If anything, it's a negative, to your point. Okay, so next, give your Airbnb a brand name. And again, this is I hear danger bells going off in everyone's head because, of course, we just said don't be corny, for one thing. But having a brand name for your listing really helps it stand out in your guests' minds. And when they start comparing homes across platforms, it's really important. So in the case of our houseboat, we are not the only houseboat in that marina, and they all look fairly similar, especially from the outside. So if I'm on Airbnb, and I'm kind of in love with John and Jeanette's houseboat, and now I'm over at Vrbo, I know that because it's the dockside, that's the same one, versus some listing number that are different on both platforms. You don't put addresses on these platforms, as you know. So it's just a way to sort of level set and let people track across the platforms. It also helps people kind of remember what it is. All of us that have ever bought a new home or even a resale home, if they don't name it, you name it yourself, right? So you come home and you say, I really like the treehouse house. What did you think? I don't know. I kind of like the Pelican house better. They're going to name it. Why don't you name it with the brand that you want that sticks, that can be searched in Google, et cetera. If you search Wilmington houseboat dockside, I guarantee you 100%. Our listing is the very first thing that pops up. Try it. It is. And as a bonus, if you have a separate website for your vacation rental property, guests can find that as well by using that that brand name, because again, they can't search by an address like you do when you're buying a new home.
Just another way to make your place stand out, which of course is our goal for y'all. Use high quality photos. They are one of the most important aspects of your property listing, and they give your potential guests a visual representation of your property, which is so important. Use high quality photos that accurately represent your property and showcase its unique features. Make sure to include photos of each room, and you don't have to do every room. We don't need to see the mechanical room, etc. But make sure that you also capture the outdoor spaces, like a patio or a pool area, those areas that people are looking for.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to build on that, Jeanette, we really hit photography hard in a separate podcast and about how to do it and how to hire a professional, which is what we recommend. But in the context of the listings, I just saw Jeanette doing this for our vacation in Italy. I mean, Jeanette knew every bedroom, what kind of bed was in there from the listing itself, but also the photography of that room. Where's so-and-so going to sleep? Where's the baby going to be? What's going to happen here? It in the context of the listing, beautiful photography, but then photography that isn't just so artsy that it shows a potted plant next to the bed. Show the room so I can see, is there room for David to sleep on the floor the one night he's visiting or whatever? Just to put that in context, does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I highly rely on the photos when I am booking a place. So
let's move now from the title, which is what we've really been mostly focused on in the photography briefly there, to the actual, what we're going to call the primary description. It's the description of your property on the site. Every property is unique. Let's just repeat that. Every property is unique. Even units in the same building can have their own vibe. They have a different view. They might have a different design aesthetic. There's something that sets them apart. And frankly, if you can't find it for your property, that what it is that sets it apart, you might need to go create something. Go buy a pinball machine. Get a record player and buy some classic vinyls to go with it. You are in control of separating your property from the others if you can't get it any other way. But I truly believe everyone is different. Your view is different. Your style is different. And then use your property description to highlight all the features in your property and showcase what makes you special. Don't assume the viewer knows your area. Just because somebody's come to your town doesn't really mean they really know your town. So if you're right located to the foot of the Space Needle and you're the only one that mentions that, you got a leg up on the other homes that are in that area. When writing your description, be as detailed as you can. Describe every room, all your amenities, you know, talk about your fully equipped kitchen, your entertainment center. You might want to highlight some unique features of your property, such as a fireplace or balcony.
Remember, they're not buying your place. It's just a place for them to stay while they're enjoying the area around your property. In your description, you'll want to include nearby attractions, restaurants, outdoor activities. Also, if your property is located in a quiet, peaceful area, you may want to highlight this as well. Make sure to include your booking details, particularly if they're unique. Is there a minimum night stay? Does it have to be booked Saturday to Saturday? In addition to information about your property, it's important to include information about the booking process. So this can include your cancellation policy, payment options, and any other important details guests should know before booking.
So what are we trying to do here? We're trying to use a vocabulary that will convince the right guest to book your place. So before you even begin writing your vacation rental descriptions, you know, think about who your target audience is. If your audience is millennials and young families, or is it, you know, retired couples, your content should require some different language choices for that. And like we said a minute ago, we want the right guest to book your place. So if you don't want parties at your house, think about the way you write your description to not sound like a party atmosphere. Start by putting yourself in your audience's shoes and think about what details would entice you to choose your property. What's your advantage? You know, is it the quirky poolside cabana or the child-friendly picnic area in the backyard? Whoever your audience is, remember always to make them be the focus of your description.
So let's try to answer some questions before they ask. So think about all the questions your potential guests may have and include them in your description. So for example, some common questions that we've had are, what is the parking situation? Do you have any public transportation near your property? How far is it from the nearest train or subway station or bus stop? Do you have any shops in the vicinity to buy essentials? What bed sizes do you have in your rooms so they can figure out who's going to stay where and do they have enough room for everyone in their party? Are pets allowed? Are they allowed to have parties? If so, what do they need to keep in mind? How many people are allowed? What's the noise level? What are the time restrictions? What's the occupancy limit? These are just a few examples.
And just so anybody knows, we do not allow parties in our houseboat. That's very clearly written in our write-up. And we actually discourage kids, too, a little bit in our description. It's technically checked in the checkbox area that we'll talk about in a minute, that we don't even allow kids, but we have let kids stay at the houseboat, but with a lot of detailed warnings and things like that, because you're basically on a boat in a marina.
Yeah, we love kids. We have a grandchild. We love kids, but we just want to make sure that everyone is safe and there are no handrails on marina floats.
I think unique to our property on this list of these type of questions and things that we have to get out up front with our guests, even in the description, is the parking situation, because you obviously can't park next to a houseboat in a marina. So we actually have, I used Google Earth or whatever to just get an aerial shot of that, that kind of marina area. And then I've drawn in Photoshop or whatever lines and things so that, hey, follow the pink line. That's where you're walking. Follow the green line. That's where you park. And, you know, we have a unique situation there, and we just try to over communicate up front, because, you know, once somebody's there with a cooler in their hands and their suitcase behind them and they're trying to figure out how to get through the gate down to the marina and they're getting frustrated, you know, you're already working from behind. You know, you're starting at 2 stars, hoping you get back to 5. By communicating this stuff ahead of time, even in your description, before they even book with you, you know, you start at that level playing field of them going, okay, this is going to be a little bit more of a challenge to get our stuff to, but we know that from the moment and even before the moment that we book. So let's switch gears now before we start writing our first description and actually talk a little bit about the tone of the description. Airbnb actually, in its, you know, how-tos, it tells its users to write how you talk. I'll say that again, write how you talk. And we couldn't agree more. So many vacation rental owners make the mistake of thinking that professional means formal when it comes to writing. But again, folks aren't booking their annual meeting for their business at your place. They're bringing their family and hoping to have some fun. So it's that first point of contact. I think some of the best listings I've ever seen, Jeanette, set this visual. Hey, you know, you're going to be enjoying cocktails while the sun sets over the river, and you'll be steps away from dining, things like that. That's not super professional and formal, but it's what I want to hear when I'm planning my vacation.
Yeah, try to write your listing descriptions as though you're describing your property to a friend. You'll capture an informal yet real tone that will draw your reader in. Just be sure to keep it consistent throughout.
And accurate, which Jeanette has always kept me honest. I'm the marketer of the family and try to use some of those euphemisms we talked about earlier, and I get pulled back by Jeanette, because again, if you're not accurate in your listing, you're setting yourself up for a bad review down the line.
Yeah, you don't want to be disappointed. I mean, I'm sure your property is awesome. So just talk about it in real terms and don't embellish too much.
No, very little embellishment is what we shoot for. So one other thing on speaking tone, and we hit a little bit on this earlier, but let's just drive it down to the platform level. Airbnb and Vrbo have different audience, a little bit of a different audience. And we've covered this in our last podcast about which one is right for you. But just a quick reminder, because it makes sense here. And honestly, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, Jeanette, I haven't done it yet because we've been out of country, but I want to go back through both of our platforms listings and make sure that we're doing what we're preaching here. So Airbnb, since its launch, has really been aimed at a young, adventurous, you know, traveler base looking to save money, find a deal, and really want an experience. Now, Airbnb has evolved. It's a little bit looking a lot more like Vrbo these days. But again, in the Airbnb world, younger audience, a little more adventurous, a little more experience-based.
VRBO is popular among families and larger groups traveling together. Its audience also includes older and more affluent travelers. They're looking to book traditional vacation rentals like cabins, cottages, and rural destinations, things like that.
So Vrbo is older, larger family reunions, and Airbnb is younger, more adventurous, smaller groups.
So applying this, make sure to play up space, family, gatherings, large tables, games, etc. for VRBO, and then put a little more thought into the experience and surrounding area for the Airbnb crowd.
Yeah, and that's great feedback. And, you know, last thing on that is just you got to keep your listing up to date. Again, do as I say, not as I do, but it's really important that you keep that up and keep it maintained because things change. The way to access your property changes, the street names or the restaurants in the area, all that stuff can change over time. You know, I think at least once a year, you got to stop, hit the brakes, go through your listing and make sure that it's super clean. I think when they move our houseboat in a couple of weeks from now, that's something we ought to just commit to do. And we can talk to the listeners about that. Now, this is one of the hardest parts of this process, and I think it's going to be one of the shortest that we talk about today because there's just no way to talk somebody through this. And that has to do with beyond the description, beyond the title, and beyond the photography that we've all done. That's really got you one page of the listing. But there is what I'm calling a maze of rooms and amenities and all these choices and tabs, and each platform is a little bit different that you've got to go through it. And in the words of Nike, we're just going to tell you just got to, you just do it. You got to do it. There's no shortcut. If you came to this podcast hoping we were going to take you by the hand, screen by screen by screen on each platform, I'm sorry. For one thing, they changed so much that we'd probably be doing you a disservice. But if the description is the essay that you took back in school, the amenity tabs and the rest of that is more the multiple choice. So the good news is you either have a TV in the bedroom or you don't, but you got to click the checkbox, right? And you either have a king, a queen, a twin, or whatever in that particular room, and you got to check the boxes, right? But that part of this thing is a very long, maybe 2 hour per platform process of just dotting every I, making sure you're consistent. They'll ask you the same thing, Jeanette, two or three times. Sometimes I know you didn't really do this. So you somewhere it'll ask about kids and then you'll be on some deep tab in there and it'll say, do you allow kids? And boy, you put yes in one and no in the other, or you say yes up front, then you decide that you're not going to anymore. And then you left one with kids. Well, then guess what? You're going to have kids at your place. You say, I have AC in one room, but you say you don't in another room and somebody doesn't think you have air conditioning. Just take the discipline, walk through it, and get that done. And, you know, Jeanette, sometimes you probably have to go through those tabs and just kind of remind yourself what's in there.
It's probably a good tool as well to make sure you haven't forgotten anything. Like if they ask about hair dryers and you haven't gotten hair dryers, get hair dryers. They're so nice to have if you're a traveler, things like that. So use it as a way to just make sure you've dotted all your I's and gotten everything you need to be ready for that first guest.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that you say that because it is where the description is very subjective. Like, I like how you've described your beautiful chalet on the lake in Lake whatever, in the Ozarks. Multiple choice portion of these amenities, if you will, now that's almost like the poker chips, like how you're stacking up against other people. So like you have four bedrooms, they have three. You have a TV in every room, they only have one TV in a room. You know, that's kind of your chance to sort of kind of win with the poker chips, for lack of a better term. So I think maybe that gives you the energy and excitement to go take those 2 hours per platform. I don't know. Final steps and watch outs in your listing that we want to talk about. One of them is on both sites, there's the portion where you load your banking information. And my notes here say, don't screw around with this one. And I would tell you that when you're filling out your banking information, absolutely make sure it's accurate, number one, or you'd be paying somebody else. And don't do what a dear friend of ours did, which was put it in one bank and then change it to another bank and then changed it back. I think they went 90 days without getting paid, Jeanette. That flagged something at the IRS and at VRBO or wherever they were, one of the platforms. And I think it was 90 days before they got their first paycheck or payout.
That was a bummer.
That was super bad. And it was all because of them changing their bank accounts kind of off and on.
Yeah. And you also want to pay attention to your cancellation policy and the other payment categories. We'll talk about this more, you know, pricing, cancellation, and other things in a later podcast. But if you can't wait, click the default recommendations in the platforms, and then later you can change those.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, before you publish, get those right, what Jeanette just talked about. You're right. You could just choose the default and try it out for a little while. But before you publish, get both the platforms up and running the way you want them. Proof them, review them. You know, a bunch of typos is not going to look good for you and your property. Have your friends read it, your mom, your dad, whatever. Look through there and make sure it makes sense. And then you want to get your calendar synced up. And again, we talked pretty in depth on this. I can't remember if this was the bonus section, Jeanette, or just 10 minutes we covered on calendar syncing on the last podcast. But sync the two calendars and let it ride for a little while before you publish your sites. Make sure everything's working. Maybe put in a hold and make sure it shows up on the other platform and vice versa, because you do not want your very first booking to have two people book on the same dates and you have to cancel one and now you got a bad rep going into the whole thing. That would be a disservice to do for sure. So, you know, it's worth, give yourself an extra week, make sure your calendar syncings are working, make sure the typos are gone and et cetera. Okay, so now everybody stop what you're doing, write your headline, write a couple headlines, try them out on your kids, try them out on some folks, get a draft going on your description. Think about your approach and think about how it might be different for the family-friendly Vrbo versus the younger adventurous Airbnb. Start gathering those things and start writing them. When you're done with that, go ahead and start on the maze or the slog of room by room Q&A, which is these yes, I have it, no, I don't checkboxes. That takes some time. Just brace yourself.
You're scaring them.
No, but it's part of the, I'm convinced the platforms don't make it as easy because, you know, if you won't spend an hour filling out those amenity tabs, you're not going to be a great host anyway, so they don't want you. They make it kind of hard. Again, the essay I talked about earlier is that sort of description, subjective about your property and your title. And then that maze of checkboxes on the amenities tabs is more your multiple choice. And again, you know, you either have a pinball machine or you don't. You have to do it. You're not publishing. You're not going live until you do this work. So take our advice. Hopefully, take others' advice. Get your listing up. Get happy with it. You're going to mess with it. You're going to change it. That's okay. We want you to. And, you know, we just hope today's descriptor discussion, the title, and the amenity maze fright that I've put out there has helpful for you guys to go do it.
Yeah, we had to learn it the hard way. Hopefully, you will learn from what we have figured out over the last year and a half or so.
Yeah, where was this podcast when we were starting? Oh my goodness. But we do appreciate you guys listening. And until next time, I'm John.
I'm Jeanette.
And this is Standout Hosting. We'll see you soon.